SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle. Welcome to it. It's a Wednesday in June, live right here on FFC. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. Together here over the next hour up until 1 p.m. Eastern time, live right here on Sports Grid Radio. Scott, today is draft day in the NBA, about 2.5 or 3 months after the NFL draft at the end of April. I'm doing my math poorly. That's 2 months after the end of April. It is draft day in the NBA, so we're not going to preview or predict what we will see during the 2024 NBA draft, but I thought we'd use the theme to have a rookie conversation all around the National Football League in the draft class of 2024 in the NFL and our expectations for them, their upcoming season, their first in the National Football League.
All right, that sounds cool. We've seen, you know, the C.J. Stroud thing. I always go back to that, Ben, as far as, you know, that opened up the door to, okay, every rookie's going to be C.J. Stroud, whether it's a quarterback, wide receiver, running back, defense, or offensive player, whatever the case may be. And that's the extreme. That really is. But, you know, the bar has been set, like, okay, if you're not that productive, whether you're a quarterback or whatever, then, maybe you're not going to be really that good. You know, you don't get low, especially as a quarterback, you don't get a whole lot of time, right, to prove yourself, but it'll be interesting to see how some of these guys at first year adapt to the NFL, the life of the NFL, all the money that they get, not just on the field, but it's all the money, right? I mean, you basically handed a gazillion dollars for a kid. That's as a 21, 22, 23-year-old, there are a lot of obstacles to overcome to be successful in sports.
And Scott, there will be many eyeballs on many quarterbacks in their rookie season because we had 6 QBs taken in the opening round of the 2024 NFL draft, the most ever in the opening round in the modern draft era. And all 6 went in the top 12 in order. Caleb Williams, of course, first overall to the Bears. Jaden Daniels, number 2 to the Washington Commanders. Drake May, number 3 to the New England Patriots. Then we saw J.J. McCarthy at 10th overall, Michael Penix Jr. at 8th overall. I skipped over 1, and then Bo Nix rounding out this group of 6 in the top 12 to the Denver Broncos. And each guy, Scott, will carry different expectation. We're not sure that all 6 are going to start their very first week of the year, if we will even see 3 or 4 of the start their opening game of the NFL season. So let us then start there. Scott, of those 6 quarterbacks, who do you feel confident will take the opening snap of the year for their franchise? How many of that group of 6 and which QBs?
I would say 3. Obviously, Caleb Williams, right? That would be a complete shock, you know, outside of injury, obviously. But Caleb's going to get it. Jalen Daniels, no doubt, is going to get it for Washington as well. Yeah. Then it gets a little dicey. I don't think Drake May is going to start. I think they brought in Jacoby Brissett, who's a halfway decent quarterback. They just went through a rookie quarterback, although he was successful his first year, but then
he went sideways
after that, right? So oddly enough, but maybe the Patriots will be a little cautious with Drake May. Penix Jr. obviously is not going to be the one. J.J. McCarthy, that's the one you kind of circle. I don't think he's going to, but I do think Bo Nix will. That's where I'm going to pencil in that third guy. I think Nix gets the start for the Denver Broncos.
Scott, I completely agree with your list right there. I think the 3 that for sure, or at least let's call it 95% plus at this moment, that will start week number 1. Caleb Williams, 100% for the Bears. Jaden Daniels, 100% for the Commanders. And Bo Nix, I would put probably a little bit higher than 95%, but ultimately I believe Bo Nix will be that week 1 starter for the Denver Broncos. Michael Penix Jr. is not going to start. If he does, oh boy, things have gotten off the rails in Atlanta very, very quickly. And I'm not sure Drake May or J.J. McCarthy start week number 1, but what I am willing to say on both of those quarterbacks, they will start by week 6 of the 2024 NFL season. I agree, Scott, with your assessment on Drake May, and I really hope that Gerard Mayo and the new organization and the new staff there, of course, in Foxborough, maybe does give Drake May some grace just because of the lack, I guess you could say, of support staff around May. The Patriots do not have a very talented roster because of Bill Belichick, not only as the head coach, but really the GM and front office exec of how poorly he assembled his team the last 2, 3, 4 years. Draft-wise, free agency-wise, it's why the Patriots have the lowest win total in the National Football League this season at 4.5. So you would almost hope that they have the foresight, Scott, to say in New England, let's not thrust our rookie quarterback into a disaster scenario where if things go bad quickly, it could taint the entirety of his opening career, or at least, you know, that first half or so where the doubt starts to creep in.
Yeah, and you look at their schedule too, Ben, to start the season. Boy, tough. You talk about tough. At Cincinnati, good luck. Seattle, okay, at home. At the Jets, and we don't know what we're getting out of the Jets offense, but the Jets defense was very good last year. You don't want to throw them against the Jets, right? Then at San Francisco, Miami, Houston, and then they fly over to Europe to play Jacksonville. So, and then they come back. They don't have the week off. If they had the week off after that, I would say that that would be where, you know, if things are like, you know, 1-5, 2-6, whatever it would be, that that's where they would pencil them in. But they didn't. They didn't take the week off. A lot of teams are avoiding that week off for some goofy reason. Then they play the Jets again at home. But maybe that's it. Jets home, at Tennessee, at Chicago. That schedule-wise, that would be where, if you're going to put someone in first time, maybe that would be the one. The at Tennessee game.
And Scott, we saw in two spots last year, both the Arizona Cardinals and the Carolina Panthers were booked as an underdog in all 17 regular season games. If that is the case for the Patriots, unless they so exceed expectation by the latter half of the 2024 NFL season, I really think New England's going to be an underdog in all 17 games as well. They have two lines up for the 2024 NFL season on the FanDuel Sportsbook as it pertains to the Pats. It's the week one opener on the road in Cincy. They're a 9.5-point underdog and a 6.5-point underdog for that London game against the Jaguars, week number 7. You would assume, Scott, that would be a tough spot to thrust Drake May into as well. I wonder how cautious they will be with a quarterback in Drake May, but a quarterback that they drafted 3rd overall. Obviously, the projection, the outlook, and the optimism is there. That's why you draft a guy at number 3 overall. And it's really not often anymore, Scott, that we see a quarterback taken in the first round, especially not in the top 10, that sits for more than a couple of weeks for the first half of a season and beyond. The days of learning behind the wily old veteran like Jacoby Brissett, those are long out the door. It is the investment in the quarterback position and wanting to see what you have, even if it's not the best situation. But you do feel for Drake May slightly, who could be a talented quarterback. I think he is a talented quarterback. I had him as my second best quarterback in this draft after Caleb Williams, even a peg in front of Jaden Daniels, who won a Heisman Trophy in 2023. Just my projection for Drake May, but sometimes, Scott, it's not where in terms of the draft order you are selected, but the situation that you find yourself in. And unless things change in New England over the first few years of the Gerard Mayo era, after nearly 2.5 decades under Bill Belichick, it could be an impossible situation for Drake May.
Yeah, it really could. You know, I expect a lot of handoffs to Stevenson, Ramondre Stevenson, right? It just signed a new contract. I think that's where they're going to go. Their wide receivers, they just really didn't help themselves that much. Kendrick Bourne and Demario Douglas, you know, Hunter Henry's pretty good tight end. But, you know, at least with Washington, with Jalen Daniels, we were talking a little yesterday, you know, he's got some weapons. And, you know, forget about if they go get Brandon Ayuk or not, but he's got some proven wide receivers on that team that he can throw the ball to. Same thing with Caleb Williams in Chicago, but that's really not the case with the New England Patriots. So that's why I'd be surprised if he got the start. Now, if he just plays lights out, I suppose, then maybe. But I really think it'll be Jacoby Brissett to start the season for the Patriots.
Yeah, I do as well. Familiarity with New England just as a whole, but a new offensive coordinator that Jacoby Brissett has familiarity with as well, Alex Van Pelt, who spent the past 4 years in Cleveland as the OC under Kevin Stefanski and the QB coach. We'll talk JJ McCarthy. Will he start week 1 up next?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Six quarterbacks all taken in the first 12 selections of the 2024 NFL Draft. A rookie conversation on Football Full Circle on this Wednesday. And Scott, six QBs taken in the opening round, the most we have ever seen in the history of the modern era of the NFL Draft that dates back to 1997. Only three previous times in that span had we even seen five, and we got six, all of them coming in the first 12 picks. You would think we will see a ton of them early and often, even week number one. We have shared the guys that we expect to start that opening week, and we'll look at their outlooks for this upcoming season in just a bit. The Bears' Caleb Williams, the Commanders' Jaden Daniels, and the Broncos' Bo Nix. We do not expect to see Michael Penix Jr. week one, week eight, week 18, unless things really are weird this year in Atlanta for the Falcons after the offseason signing of Kirk Cousins. We just talked on the other side of the break about Drake May and his outlook and how we expect Jacoby Brissett to get the start this year in Foxborough, but for them to incorporate Drake May at a certain point. But the overall positivity for the Pats, not exactly there. Lowest win total in the NFL at 4.5, which brings us to our sixth and final quarterback to discuss. That's J.J. McCarthy. Minnesota, by all accounts, was enamored with McCarthy throughout the draft process. They were always the favored team to draft J.J. McCarthy. They moved up by a spot from 11 to 10 to make sure they could solidify their selection of J.J. McCarthy. But right before offseason activity, and that program ended for the Vikings, Scott, just a few weeks ago, Minnesota's head coach Kevin O'Connell was speaking about the quarterback room after they paid Sam Darnold a $10 million deal for 1 year this offseason to add some veteran experience to that quarterback room, of course, after the departure of Kirk Cousins. And Kevin O'Connell said, listen, it's going to be a competitive quarterback race, but when we return in July for training camp, we expect Sam Darnold to be taking a majority of the reps with the ones, which in coach speak means Sam Darnold, as of this moment, Scott, is the starter in Minneapolis.
Yeah, I think he will get the start, when everything is said and done. This is the one that you can really kind of have the debate with. See, I'm not a J.J. McCarthy guy, though. If I was a J.J. McCarthy guy, I'd say, oh, yeah, he's going to get the start. You know, you move up in the draft. Yep. You want to, you get rid of Kirk Cousins. You know, he left on his own, but basically you get rid of Kirk Cousins. You re-sign Justin Jefferson. You want to show your fan base that this is a win-now team. This is the guy, the quarterback of the future. No one thinks Sam Darnold is going to be that guy. So yeah. I could see if you really believe in J.J. McCarthy, but I don't think he's going to look good in the preseason. So that's why I think Sam Darnold's going to get the start for the Vikings at the beginning of the year.
So Sam Darnold is such an interesting case, right? Sam Darnold, the third overall pick in the 2018 NFL draft, did not amount to anything in New York, goes to Carolina in 2021. They get off to a blazing start that season with Sam Darnold as the starting quarterback and Christian McCaffrey. I remember after a Thursday night football game, they started 3-0 and people were like, ooh, this Panthers team might be up to something in Sam Darnold's resurgence. Well, then he got benched toward the tail end of that year. In 2022, he started the final six games of the year for Carolina. And then this past offseason went out to San Francisco, worked under Kyle Shanahan, was Brock Purdy's backup with the 49ers. Did start the final game of the year, week 18. Carson Wentz and the Rams actually pulled off the upset in Santa Clara in that backup quarterback battle. But by all accounts, Scott looked pretty good to solidify his status as the backup QB in San Fran. It led to the trade of Trey Lance last offseason as well. And hey, it pays to be a solid backup quarterback in the NFL, a 1 year, $10 million deal to go over to the Vikings. Ultimately, I think within the opening month or so, for 6 weeks of the NFL season, J.J. McCarthy will be the starting quarterback for the Vikes. But you also did pay Sam Darnold a considerable amount for a 1 year deal to virtually be your backup quarterback. And you invested into Darnold. You didn't just get him for scraps. You gave him $10 million. I do think Sam Darnold is going to be in competition for that starting quarterback role, Scott, throughout all of training camp.
Yeah, I really do as well. I just think, you know, his vet, if Sam Darnold, as you mentioned, this is not a guy that is just like a nobody. He was, you know, in J.J. McCarthy's shoes really not that long ago, right? And so he's got three opportunities. He had an opportunity with the Jets. He had an opportunity to be the man with Carolina. And, you know, he has a pretty good opportunity to be the man in Minnesota. And you got a pretty good guy you're going to be throwing the ball to with Justin Jefferson. Jacoby Brissett is the starter in the to realize, you know what, eventually it's going to be Drake May's show. But, yeah. You know, Sam Darnold is the one where I think he's going into this thing saying, I can win this job and I can have some success and I'll keep JJ on the bench as long as possible and maybe be the man for the rest of the season. I kind of doubt it, but, you know, you never know.
Yeah. I would agree with you. Again, I do think because of how invested Minnesota is into J.J. McCarthy, he ultimately will be the starter. Scott, like you, though, I'm not a huge J.J. McCarthy believer, at least until I see it. There is the projection of the prospect, and I understand that, and there is the winning ways that he had at Michigan, 27-1 throughout his starting career as the quarterback of the maize and blue over his last two seasons in Ann Arbor, with a minimum of 25 starts made in the last half century in college football. Nobody has a better win percentage than J.J. McCarthy, but he's not a starting pitcher. He's a starting quarterback, and whether fair or unfair, depending on how you deem wins and losses, it is only tied to one position in the sport of football. It's the quarterback. Nobody talks about the left guard and says, hey, he's got a 13-3 record as a starting left guard. He could be the face of our franchise moving forward. It is tied to the quarterback position. So if you look at the actual projected stats of what J.J. McCarthy might be able to do, of course you need to look at the sample size that we saw, which was not very illustrious at Michigan. Wasn't their style of play to air it out, spread offense, and let J.J. chuck it all over the field and empty quarterback sets with five out wide. And they really ran the football with a dominant offensive line. But still, I think there is some questions. So, Scott, if I am Minnesota, it could behoove both the Vikings overall and J.J. McCarthy to sit on the bench at least and learn a little bit in the National Football League. But you don't really get that grace period if you're drafted in the top 10, of which we will discuss up next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. I've said it a few times and I will say it again. In the modern era of the National Football League, if you're a quarterback drafted in the first round, heck, if you're a quarterback taken in the top 10, you are expected, whether you are fully ready or not, whether the cast and crew around you is ready to play at the NFL level, you are expected to pretty much start right away. Scott, we talked about how in this past draft, six quarterbacks taken in the top 12, the most quarterbacks we've ever seen in the modern draft era in the opening round. Two previous times in the last 10 years prior, we had seen five quarterbacks go in the first round, 2018 and in 2021. So if we use those years with so many quarterbacks as a sample size, pretty much every quarterback was playing by the end of the opening month. When you look at the five QBs taken in 2018, Baker Mayfield, first overall, he started by week number four. Sam Darnold, taken third overall by the Jets, he started from the very jump. Josh Rosen, taken 10th overall for the Cardinals, he started by week number four. Josh Allen, earlier than that, week number two, after being selected in the top 10 by the Buffalo Bills. And Scott, even the final quarterback to be taken that year in the first round was Lamar Jackson, who was behind Joe Flacco, who at the time still seemed like he was the franchise guy in Baltimore, but Lamar ended up starting toward the end of the year as well, and he was the final pick of the first round. In 2021, we saw three quarterbacks go off the board, 1, 2, 3. Trevor Lawrence won to Jacksonville. He started right away. Zach Wilson, number two to the New York Jets. He started right away. Trey Lance was the only guy that really sat behind Jimmy Garoppolo for the San Francisco 49ers. Justin Fields, although he did sit behind Andy Dalton to start, started pretty early. And Mac Jones was the guy from the jump for the New England Patriots. So we're talking about the six quarterbacks here and who starts week number one, or maybe better said, by the end of the opening month. We think three for sure, and then Drake May and J.J. McCarthy kind of up in the air to start at least by maybe week six.
Yeah, and I tell you, Ben, if you wanted to analyze things as far as who's most likely to have the best success, right, you throw out the guys that aren't going to start. So I won't, you know, use Atlanta Falcons offense for Penix Jr.
Yeah.
But you can make the case, believe it or not, when you look at it, that J.J. McCarthy of Minnesota, even though we both said that we don't think he's going to start opening day, has got the most weapons. I mean, you look at that Vikings offense. That you remember, they picked up Aaron Jones this offseason, so they got a pretty good running back in Jones. They got Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison as your wide receivers, T.J. Hockenson as your tight end, and then say what you want about these guys, and I'm not big into analyzing offensive lines, but the five offensive linemen for the Minnesota Vikings are all first or second round draft choices in the last few years. So that's a pretty good offense. You know, it's almost like, you know, it's going to sound goofy, but if they start Sam Darnold, you know, ultimately they want to put J.J. McCarthy in there, right? That's why they, you know, moved up in a draft and drafted him. But, you know, they could have some success offensively. Whether they win games or not, you know, because their defense isn't any good, different story. But is Sam Darnold good enough to have a whole lot of success with all those weapons that, you know, J.J. wouldn't, you know, not only not start the season, maybe not play at all this year because they have so many weapons to work with?
Yeah, absolutely so. I mean, Scott, you would think if there was any environment ripe for a quarterback to be a part of, J.J. McCarthy, who knew this well, speaking at the NFL Draft Combine, talking about the three wide receivers in the National Football League he wanted to play with, he listed Justin Jefferson first. Well, J.J. then goes out and gets paid in a big way this offseason, so now he is happy to be in Minnesota. Jordan Addison had a great rookie year, and T.J. Hockenson was fantastic this past season for the Vikings. With an offensive-minded head coach who was considered very sharp on that side of the football in Kevin O'Connell, J.J. McCarthy, outside of Caleb Williams, because the Bears have loaded up this offseason, probably has the best environment to walk into of any of the rookie quarterbacks. And Scott, to further this conversation, and we'll look at the actual yardages and how we feel about betting either the over or the under, only three of the six, that's half, only three of the six quarterbacks taken in the top 12 even have a season-long passing yards prop for 2024. Caleb Williams, 3,450.5, by far the highest one. Jaden Daniels, 3,075 in a hook, and Bo Nix under 3,000 at 2,850.5. So if they're only laying three season-long yardage props, there is some question from the odds makers on if those three other guys, Bo Nix, or excuse me, not Bo Nix, J.J. McCarthy, Drake May, and Michael Penix Jr. will start right away, pretty much falling in line with what Scott and I were discussing about the guys we feel most confident in taking that snap the opening week of the year. And if they do, Daniels in Washington, Williams in Chicago, Nix in Denver, how will they perform in their rookie campaign? That's what we'll evaluate up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. So, Scott, I feel rather justified in how we started our rookie quarterback conversation on this Wednesday. We said that we felt most confident that around 95 to 100% sure Caleb Williams would start week one for Chicago, Jaden Daniels would start week one for Washington, and Bo Nix would start week one for the Denver Broncos. Some questions around would we see Michael Penix Jr. at all this year? If things go well for the Falcons, as they hope and expect with Kirk Cousins, probably not. except in mop-up duty. Would Drake May start for New England? Probably not, at least to begin. Jacoby Brissett, probably that starter, and J.J. McCarthy in a quarterback battle with Sam Darnold in Minnesota. And the reason I say justified is because there are three rookie quarterbacks, and only three, with a passing yards prop for the entirety of the season in 2024. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Bo Nix. So, Scott, I feel as though we have a long way to get to football season, of course. We have hit the nail on the head, at least here at the end of June.
Well, I hate to put a pin in our bubble because I was thinking the same thing. But if you search hard enough, I love these websites. If you search hard enough on FanDuel, you actually can see a Drake May regular season passing prop. It's not under rookies. Why would it? You know, why would it be under rookies when you have all the other rookies there? But if you go under passing props, they list a bunch of other quarterbacks, and he's one of those listed 2,400 yards. Yikes. So, I mean, they clearly don't think he's going to be starting, right? I mean, there's no way he wouldn't throw for 2,400 yards if he was starting every game. It's just a matter of that, you know, you make that bet. Does he start ever? If he does start the season, does he play the whole way? You know, I would lean towards the under on that one. I don't, like I said, I think Brissett's going to have, you know, somewhat four, five, six games, and Drake May's going to get about 10, 11 or so. You know, it's not that many yards, 230 yards or so, but they threw for like nothing last year. I mean, just like nothing. So I don't know how he's going to get to 2,401 unless he starts opening day and has a whole lot of success. But it's there, though.
Yeah, so it is there. 2,400 and a half is not good by any means. And again, I think that does incorporate the idea that Drake May would not be a starter from the very start, would probably not start 17 games, probably not more than 11 or 12 in that incorporation of what it looks like. And again, we have some questions about Drake May, if he will be the starter, the third overall pick of the 2024 NFL draft. How about Sam Darnold, who was the third overall pick in the 2018 NFL draft, started from the very beginning for the New York Jets, but in total only made 13 in a very tumultuous rookie campaign. That year, though, even Sam Darnold threw for 2,865, had four games, including two of his final four starts where he threw for more than 250 yards. You even look at Bryce Young, Scott, who last year started and played in 16 games, but only threw for more than 250 one single time. Last year. Wow. That was in their third to last game against the Green Bay Packers, where he threw for 312 and two touchdowns, probably his best statistical performance in his rookie campaign in 2023. Even Bryce Young threw for 2,877 yards. So Drake May is listed, 2,400 and a half. J.J. McCarthy, no prop. Michael Penix Jr., no prop available as well. And Scott, from the Bryce Young point, I go first to Bo Nix. If we expect Bo Nix to be the starter week number one, because he's going to beat out a bad quarterback room that features Zach Wilson at this moment, at least if he's not, it's not a good sign for this year for Denver or even beyond in Bo Nix's career. I love the over of 2,850 and a hook. I believe it's a number we have discussed a few times here on FFC, but knowing that Bo Nix, if he can play 15, 16 games even throughout his rookie campaign, you have to feel good about going over 2,850 and a half.
Yeah, if he plays 15, and listen, there's a chance he plays all 17, but let's give him a couple of games. All right, he plays 15 games. That averages out to be 191 yards a game, not even 200 yards a game. That's, boy, first of all, I don't think he'd be playing, you know, if he was averaging less than that in the NFL. They would bench him no matter who's on the bench, right? We would sit him getting the next crack, I suppose. But in the NFL, it's hard not. You said even as bad as Bryce Young was last year, he threw for 2,800 yards. I like him, and I'll take Jalen Daniels, the same thing. His number's a little bit higher, 3,075, but he's definitely playing from the get-go. He's going to be playing the whole way. He's got some weapons that maybe even Bo Nix doesn't have that. Yeah. How's Jalen Daniels? You know, that's only averaging a couple of more yards, 200 yards a game. How's he not going to throw for 3,100 yards?
Yeah, I would agree. You would think in Cliff Kingsbury's system, of course, in Washington, they will air it out. They will see what Jaden Daniels is capable of doing. I think the Commanders, as we discussed, Scott, a couple of days ago, maybe not going to be as bad as they were under Ron Rivera, and there might actually be a chance for the Commanders to win 7-8 games, even with a rookie quarterback in Jaden Daniels. If that is the case, you would expect him to be putting up good numbers along the way, and there is a pretty good cast and crew in terms of skill position. Terry McLaurin, probably one of the most underrated wide receivers in the NFL because of the rotating quarterback room he has had to deal with the Commanders. Hopefully, Jaden Daniels can be that piece for him. Bo Nix is not going to have Jerry Jeudy, but he is going to have his favorite target in college, Troy Franklin, who was also drafted out of Oregon by the Broncos in the 2024 NFL Draft. You never know with the wide receiver health, at least, for Denver, but they do have some pieces that, if they can stay healthy, Cortland Sutton, Tim Patrick, that would add on to this team as well. And they added Josh Reynolds in the offseason from the Detroit Lions, who's a pretty consistent wide receiver. And just knowing Sean Payton, at least being the offensive guru that we give him the credit for, you would have to think they are going to force the ball downfield this year. And then we go to Russell Wilson, Scott, who, of course, last year was the starter for the Denver Broncos, and the numbers were not flashy by any means. He wasn't throwing for 250+, 275, 300 in many of those games, but still, in only 15 games played last year in Sean Payton's offense, threw for 3,070 yards.
That's not bad. So you got to figure he's going to be the starting quarterback. I don't think he's going to lose the job. You may get some playing time for Fields, but I think ultimately it will be his job for the entire season. And I think he's going to go there, and I think they're going to open it up a little bit. I don't think they brought him in to hand the ball off like they were trying to do over the last couple of seasons. I like his talk. I mean, it's hard not to like the overs in these things, right? I mean, so you got to take a step back and just limit yourself and say, it's really hard not to throw for 225. 5 yards a game or whatever the average it out to be, right? So you kind of know that going into some of these bets, but then you look for ones that kind of stand out. To me, Russell Wilson does stand out. As bad as things were in Denver last year, like you said, his numbers were halfway decent. I don't think they brought him in to hand the ball off, so I would go over his number.
Yeah, me as well. And again, Scott, when you look at Russell Wilson, threw for over 300 in two of the first three games for Denver. And that included week number one, only throwing for 177 against the Raiders. But those two games was the one where they gave up 70 to the Dolphins week three. He threw for 306, threw for 308 the week prior in their home debut, or in their second home game, I should say, against the Commanders, in which they were a 7.5-point favorite, something large, and lost that game outright, 35-33. It wasn't good. And then when Denver started to play better football toward the tail end of last year, actually Russell Wilson's numbers dropped off drastically. He threw for only over 250 one other time from week three on, and still got over 3,000 passing yards. Now, Caleb Williams, Scott, has the highest one at 34-50 and a hook of the rookie quarterbacks. We'll talk about Caleb's outlook for 2024, how we try to find some like comparisons, because the last few years in Chicago, Justin Fields was not throwing for 300 yards per game and certainly was not going over 3,000 yards in a season. Can Caleb get close to 3,500 in his rookie campaign? We'll discuss up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We have spent the entirety of this Football Full Circle episode focused on the rookies, and namely the rookie quarterbacks. And when you're the number one overall pick and touted as a generational talent, there is sky-high expectations in the Windy City for Caleb Williams. 34-50 and a half. That's his passing yards prop. The season-long perspective, Scott, for his rookie campaign in 2024. He is going to start, of course, week number one for Chicago, and a lot will be expected under new offensive coordinator Shane Waldron. And unlike Justin Fields, he actually has a lot of talent around him at the quarterback position. This offseason, they added DeAndre Swift in the backfield. Beyond that, they traded for Keenan Allen. Last offseason, they added DJ Moore. And, of course, also in the top 10, they draft Roma Dunze out of Washington. Cole Kmet has emerged in his young career as a pretty solid option at the tight end position. Scott, do you think Caleb Williams can go over 34.5 for his season-long passing prop?
I do. You know, and this number, these numbers do change, I must say, because I was looking at this a month or so ago, and I just put in like $1 bets, Ben, literally $1, $2 bets, just so I could make reference to it, you know, 2-3 months from now.
Yeah.
And I put it in at 3,400 2 months ago. So it went up $50 yards, you know, without him throwing one pass. So these numbers do, you know, especially once you get into training camp and you get reports that this guy looks really good. So I'm not a big advocate on putting money down, you know, 2.5 months before a season begins. But if you want better lines, then, you know, now is the time to actually do it. That averages out to 203 yards a game. 41-51 is 203 yards a game. You know, when you look at it that way, yeah, I do think, you know, he's going to get into a lot of shooting matches, right? He's got Minnesota. We talked about Minnesota's offense, how good it's going to be one way or another. You got Green Bay. You got Detroit that could score. So you got six games in conference that you know you're going to go into those games anyway, thinking you're going to probably score 24 to 27 points, or you're going to have to anyway. So, you know, knowing the game plan is going to be throwing the ball, yeah, I'd be surprised. And I think he'll be successful in the NFL. Maybe not C.J. Stroud successful, but I think he will. The way he can scramble around and everything, I think he'll have some decent success this first year.
Scott, it is well documented that despite being one of the most historic franchises in the National Football League, a member of the NFL since 1922, and winning a Super Bowl, of course, in 85, even with Jim McMahon at the quarterback position, the Chicago Bears have not been a great franchise at developing or retaining quarterback talent. Scott, what if I told you, since 1922, when the Bears joined the National Football League, that only four seasons in their history, four, and only two quarterbacks have thrown for over 34.5 in the history of the Chicago Bears.
Wow.
The last quarterback to do so, Jay Cutler in 2015, 3,659 yards. Jay Cutler owns three of the four seasons where a quarterback in Chicago has thrown for more than 34.5 and a hook. Eric Kramer in 1995, the Bears' all-time leader in terms of single-season passing yards at 3,838. If Caleb Williams goes over 34.5, in fact, if Caleb Williams even falls 150 yards short of that prop, he will have the fifth most passing yards in a single season in the history of the Chicago Bears franchise. That is a lot of expectation on a young man's shoulder, but that is the hope for what Caleb Williams can be after being selected first overall.
That is amazing. You know, Eric Kramer, that would be a good bar question, right? Name the quarterback who's thrown the most yards. I don't think, you know, whether it's Sid Luckman or Jim McMahon you'd get, or whoever. I don't think too many would have Eric Kramer as the one. Jay Cutler would have been my guess. But
yeah,
he's going to. I think, you know, listen, they've had Walter Payton and Gale Sayers. They've had some pretty good running backs, but they're not actually throwing the football a lot. But you would have 3,500 yards, not a lot of yards, right? I mean, wow. I think he will. Listen, you got a head coach who's clearly on the hot seat. You got a GM that needs to win. They get the number one overall pick. They didn't bring him in to hand the ball off. That's always kind of revert back to that, you know? So with life on the line, am I going to hand the ball off? No, I am going to throw. I want to see some success, whether they're blowout losses or blowout wins. Either way, he's going to be throwing the football with all those weapons on offense. Again, outside of injury, you know he's going to be starting right away, so he's going to play all 17 games, I would think, you know, barring an injury. He's not going to throw for 200 yards. I'd be on that over, even though those numbers tell you don't play the over just because of their history.
Right. Yeah, for the Bears as a franchise, not great history. Scott, 14 rookie quarterbacks have thrown for 3,500 yards or more. It was a stat I was able to find on StatMuse, not exactly 3,451, which would be over 34.5. Most recent to do so, C.J. Stroud this past year, 4,108. And Scott, you said that because of what C.J. Stroud was able to accomplish last year, second overall pick for the Houston Texans, ran away with the Offensive Rookie of the Year award, was an MVP conversation, led the Texans, of course, to a playoff victory over the Browns. That is going to be how a couple of these young QBs are viewed if they start right away. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix. Can they live up to that C.J. Stroud hype? That's the third most passing yards, 4108, for C.J. Stroud that a rookie has ever accomplished in the history of the NFL. And C.J. Stroud, by the way, only played 15 games, not even all 17 in the regular season, and still threw for more than 4,100 yards. Just make sure you kind of temper your expectations just a little bit, that not everybody is going to be C.J. Stroud, at least not right away.
Yeah, I mean, it is a lot of yards. I remember when there were 14 games. I think it was 14 games. I'll date myself, you know, and the 1,000 yard was this big, big monster thing, Ben, when it was came to running backs getting 1,000 yards, right? And it was. But then you broke it down, you divided by the 14 games, and then you realize it was only 66 and a half yards a game. And you're like, then you say, boy, how come more running backs aren't getting more than 1,000 yards? It doesn't seem like a lot, 66 and a half. And so, you know, when you break it down per game, it does seem easy to accomplish, but over the long haul, you have games where you just don't throw that much.
Even Mac Jones, back in 2021, 3,800 passing yards for the New England Patriots as a rookie. Justin Herbert, 4,336 back in 2020, the most ever by a rookie. Andrew Luck in 2012, 4,374 with the Colts. More FFC up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. For a few more moments, we keep it rolling all around the Sports Grid Radio Network. So, Scott, we've talked a lot about the rookie quarterbacks, but there's also some rookie wide receivers that we expect to get into the National Football League and make an impact right away. Marvin Harrison Jr. has the third best price at plus 750 to win NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year. Malik Nabers, fourth best number at 15-1. Xavier Worthy has the sixth best price alongside Bo Nix, Drake May at 20-1, and Keon Coleman 26-1. Roma Dunze 30-1 alongside Ladd McConkey and Brian Thomas Jr. That kind of rounds out the top 10, or at least tied for that top 10 positioning. We would expect some wide receivers to make an impact right away in the NFL as well.
Yeah, you would think so, right? More and more people are throwing the football. More and more wide receivers are going to be, you know, the targets of the offense versus the running back, which is gone by the wayside for the most part. You know, if you look at last year's numbers, you know, that's how you got to kind of put these things into perspective. Last year, there were 28 wide receivers, tight ends, that gained, that had over 1,000 yards receiving. So whenever you see a number next to a guy, just know that's the number. I throw that out there because Marvin Harrison Jr., is at 10,050. You have Malik Nabers at 850.5. I don't know if Nabers is going to get it with the Giants offense. Adunze, though, you know, at under 700, 695, that's not too bad. And even Harrison Jr., I think he's going to step in there and be the man. I think Arizona's going to be throwing him the football and Kyler Murray. That could be a really awesome duo. So I would look, you know, initially, I like the overs on those two guys.
Yeah, I would agree as well, Scott. I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be a wonderful complement to Kyler Murray. Marvin Harrison Jr., one of the most talented wide receivers we had ever seen at the collegiate level. Malik Nabers put up good numbers as well, but the impact that Marvin Harrison Jr. single-handedly could have on a game is not often what you see at the wide receiver position, where he was the most important player. Often that's the quarterback spot, but MHJ is that good. And I will say plus 750, third best price to win Offensive Rookie of the Year, is a little bit of value. I do think Caleb Williams will win the award if the Bears are even close to 500 and Caleb Williams is pretty solid throughout the season. The Notre notoriety, the narrative, and oftentimes quarterbacks struggle to win the Offensive Rookie of the Year award because when you're the first overall pick or a top five or top 10 pick, you're often going to a bad team. The Bears have a win total of 8.5. The juice is on the over. The Bears have a minus money price to reach the playoffs. If they can get near those expectation levels, then I think Caleb Williams will win this award. But as I said, Scott, not often does a quarterback, or not as frequently does a quarterback win the Offensive Rookie of the Year award as a quarterback does, say, win the Heisman Trophy or the NFL MVP award. Because if a quarterback can win an award in football, more than likely they are going to win said award. Not always the case in the Offensive Rookie of the Year. Only 4 of the last 10 winners in the last decade have played the quarterback spot, including C.J. Stroud last year. That was Justin Herbert in 2020 and Kyler Murray in 2019 as well. It is not always just given to a quarterback, because even if you put up good stats, if you're on a bad team, it's just not reflected as positively. So if Caleb Williams and the Bears do, you know, fall well short of expectation this year, if Caleb is under 34, 50.5, and the Bears are just a 6-7 win football team again, and Marvin Harrison Jr. has a great rookie year, then I think MHJ is very much going to be in the running for this award.
I think so, too. That's why, just me being me, but if I were the Patriots, I would have grabbed Marvin Harrison Jr. and waited for my quarterback next year and just live life with Jacoby Brissett, because I think out of all the players that were drafted, he's the absolute lock. And I always threw this comparison out there. Would you rather have Justin Jefferson or a mediocre quarterback? I would rather have Justin Jefferson. I'll deal with a quarterback. I'll get another one down the line. So, but that said, and again, you think about who they're going to be playing up against. You know, you got to have a lot of offensive weapons, you know, in the NFC West, whether the Rams are going to put points on the board, Niners are going to put points on the board. I think they're going to throw, they got not a bad little offense with James Conner in the backfield, nice little compliment, but he's in a position with Kyler Murray desperate for a wideout to really be the man in Arizona, and that means put up numbers, and maybe he'll overcome the lack of team success to get that award.
Yeah, I would think so. And oftentimes, wide receivers can kind of overcome the lack of team success to have those years. Garrett Wilson in 2022 won the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year award because of how good he was, despite the Jets as a team not being overly successful. He's Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. Football Full Circle returns to Sports Grid Radio tomorrow, noon Eastern time. Make sure to tune in.